day work?
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. Dan Shaughnessy is with us. Time now to welcome in Kyle Van Noy, the New England Patriots, brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Kyle, what's up?
What's happening? How you guys doing?
How you doing?
I'm great, man. Bringing that energy today.
That's
new
right,
week, baby.
Did you have any energy after the game when that crap happened at the end?
Hell no, I was tired, but disappointed, but you know, it's a new week. I'm excited to play in Pittsburgh and experience that environment, that energy, play against Big Ben on a big stage. You know, we're looking forward to it.
Would you say that everybody in your locker room is feeling the same way, putting Sunday behind you and looking forward only to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, I can only speak for myself, and I'm just going to try to do the best of my ability to provide help for the defense and whatever that is and this team. And I'm just looking forward to this weekend and playing hopefully lights out.
So Mike Tomlin had his press conference in Pittsburgh yesterday, talked about Ben Roethlisberger, said that he's got contusions of multiple ribs and that he's got hurt ribs. As a defender, does that just make you want to get up to that guy and put your helmet right into that quarterback's ribs in the course of the game?
I mean, Big Ben's a tough player. He's played through so many injuries over his career. I don't think any of us can just say we're going to go in and do that. We're just going to play our game. You know, everybody's banged up at this point in the season, and we're just going to do our job and responsibility to come out for the win.
Kyle, how much do you guys enjoy the defense? I know the playground one where, you know, you put one guy's hand down, whether it's Trey Flowers, and a bunch of you guys move around in the front, and you're active up there. And you guys seem that's really been effective for you guys against really good teams this year, and especially last week on third down.
I have a question. Who named it that?
I think it was Brewski and those guys back in the day with Romeo Crennel and that crew, you know, Willie and all
okay,
that.
Okay, okay.
Mike, is there a different name? Is there a different name for that?
I mean, I don't know. Playground, that seems a little too, I don't know.
Out of control. I know what you're saying, right? Like, let's just roll the ball out and play. You know, just do what you want to
do. Yeah.
No, but I mean, there's always a word for it. When it's like banjo, you know, we used to have Arapaho for that. You know, that attack play when we hit a big play and we hurry up and get up there and snap it if it's going to be
crushed. Okay. Yeah. Then let's call it playground then, okay, since that's what everyone's going with. You know, I think it's a fun, different front. It's different, and, you know, a lot of teams aren't doing that. And, you know, it brings a different element to reading. We have a lot of guys that can do a lot of great things on this defense. And, you know, it's been a big part of our success this year. And hopefully we can continue to do it.
We're talking with Kyle Van Noy with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. What is it about the Pittsburgh offense that makes it hard to play against?
I mean, you got Hall of Fame players. I mean, they're really, really great players. And, you know, they score from anywhere. They're explosive. Big Ben commands the offense and does a great job. Juju's up and coming. They have good tight ends that can catch the ball, make plays. I mean, McDonald's stiff arm this year, that was a sick play by him. You know, they got explosive plays, and they're really good in the red area.
Now, obviously, Le'Veon's not there, but Connor's had a really good year for them. He's been banged up, and it's kind of in and out. They're not going to tell you if he's going to play this week. I would expect him to play, but how much different are they on offense without Bell back there?
It seems to me like they just throw the ball a little bit more than normal, but I feel like James – let me take that back, just because when James Conner in there, I feel like they do pretty good of everything, and James Conner has done a great job of filling that role of being a starter. But since he's been, you know, banged up, I feel like they've thrown the ball a little bit more from when he went out. So I expect them to – you know, we expect him to play, and we're looking forward to the challenge. We're just excited to get back on the field. You know, we have a sour taste, and everybody knows that wasn't us on Sunday finishing a game like that, and we're ready to put it past and move forward to this weekend.
Bill Belichick a few minutes ago was talking about Ben Roethlisberger's ability to hang in there until the very end before taking a hit, and how he's a guy that sort of can extend a play just by being willing to hang in there and be prepared for that. So does your approach change when getting after the quarterback, factoring that in, knowing that he's a guy who will stand in the pocket for a very long time?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And Ben's done that for a long time. And I think if we can just keep getting after him, like we've done a good job this year of getting after quarterbacks and get him off the spot, I think we'll be all right.
You're right.
Big Ben does a really good job of, you know, hanging in there and even hanging in there and taking hits and having people hang on him while he's throwing the ball. It's pretty impressive.
It's another one of those venues, too. And my last question for you here is that, you know, Heinz Field, you know, the end with where the ketchup bottles are up by the scoreboard, kicks tend to drift one way or the other.
Yeah.
The field isn't always the best. Like in Miami this past week, they're out there cutting up pieces of sod and replanting it. But how much is last year's game and the way it unfolded with Juju? You thought you had the game in hand, and Juju took it all the way down. You guys end up getting a pick. But some of the young players that experienced that game, how much has that helped them, you know, going into that environment again?
Well, I think with the group of guys we have here and the veteran presence, I think it helps younger guys have confidence going in there because we've done it before. But this year is a whole new year, and we got to go in with a different mind frame. Their back's against the wall. They need a win. We definitely need a win, too. So it's going to be high energy, high octane game. I'm excited for it, to be honest. Like, if you love football, you know, this is where you want to be at. It's going to be lights out fun.
All right, Kyle. Appreciate the time. Good luck on Sunday.
All right, bud.
All right, fellas. Appreciate y'all. You know, I enjoy talking with you guys as always. Much love.
Keep bringing that energy. Love it.
Yeah, all day, every day. Let's get it.
All right.
Kyle Van Noy. Thanks, Kyle. Kyle Van Noy with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. He's turned the page.
Oh, much love.
He's ready to go.
Never heard that before.
He's one of the good guys.
I know.
You've heard a lot of these guys do interviews and talk shows and that.
He hates boring player interviews.
He's got a little bit of energy.
Yeah,
good edge.
He brings some life.
Good edge, yeah.
We like him.
Get. He loves you.
He could always come on the show.
Yeah. He's a guy.
Yeah. I understand. Yeah. No, it was good. It was a good interview.
Right now, we have the action update. It's brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island.
What do we got cooking?
At Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels, they're the only places in New England you can legally bet on sports, powered by William Hill. Get details at sportsbetri.com.
Here's the action update. And also check out the Over Under 98.5 podcast on our 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
In what may be the most important game this season in the AFC West, the Kansas City Chiefs continue to be a 3.5-point favorite tomorrow night to win at home against the Los Angeles Chargers. The total is 53. The game also features some prop bets posted by the Westgate here in Las Vegas, like how many touchdown passes will the Chargers' Phillip Rivers throw? The over-under is 2. By the Chiefs' Patrick Mahomes, 2.5. Basketball. The Celtics are 2-point favorites tonight at Washington. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
This is the season for season's greetings. Greetings, one and all. God bless our sweethearts. God bless our folks. God bless the Joneses, the Murphys, the Stokes. For this is the season for sweethearts.
the Goldbergs.
Yep.
Cut, cut, cut.
Not like those stupid bands like redoing Christmas music. Just play the classics.
Yeah. Makes you warm all over.
Mariah Carey and like the Little Big Town Country Christmas.
We're going to get to Dan's dates next segment. Yep. We'll get to the Red Sox right now. Dan, what's your reaction to hearing that the Red Sox are listening to offers on Rick Porcello, Xander Bogaerts, and Jackie Bradley Jr.?
I thought it was Dombrowski didn't go to great lengths to knock that down.
No, he didn't.
And I think there's something to be read into that. And, you know, sometimes we read too much. But I think in this case, with what's going on with their team, with the payroll, what they've done, I just, you know, I've always been in on trading JBJ. I just think that it's an area they've got a little bit of a glut and sell high and now higher than ever. I mean, my God, the way he finished and then MVP, the ALCS and Gold Glove. And Beetle, you and I know he's not that good and he's overrated in this market.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my God, the local media would have to just be a day of mourning if they ever traded.
What'd your boy Pete Abraham do?
Wouldn't be good. You know, I don't know.
Maybe part of that package.
Yeah, it would be. There's so much love for JBJ. And we love him, too. We love him. But he's way overrated, in my view. So, yeah. And you've been on the Porcello thing. I give you credit, Beetle. You were ahead of the curve on that
way
one.
Ahead of it.
I think that's real. Bogaerts thing, I'm not in love with. I mean, I don't feel an urging need to move him. You know, they're not going to be able to hold all their core guys. We know that. But Bradley's, you know, the place to start. Yeah, I'm okay with that. But if one of those things happens, it would be a lot.
Okay, the Xander Bogaerts thing, as I told these guys earlier, I don't really totally get that one because I think it's going to be hard to make yourself better for 2019 by trading.
Exactly.
That's going to be a hard thing to do.
God, I've done 100 runs. It's athletic prime. He's a good player.
Even if you don't think he's going to be one of the guys you pay.
Right.
What are you going to get in return?
Right.
What's the return on him?
Yeah, keep him.
So I don't see that one happening. I feel like there might be other teams that want him, but I don't know what you would get in return. On JBJ's front, Alex Cora said that there was a conversation that they had at Christian Vasquez's wedding. And Jackie Bradley Jr. said he was going to L.A. And something about he's been, you know, sort of figuring out. He's been working on his swing and all crap.
J.D. Martinez.
Get out of here with this.
And he's on the committee to go to London with C.C. Sabathia to promote the series next year. It's JBJ and C.C.
Terrific.
All initials are over there doing that. But, I mean, I wouldn't be adverse to that. The one thing that bothers me about this a little bit, Beetle, is the pride of authorship with Dombrowski. I'm just a little concerned about, you know, his guys versus the guys who were already here and, you know, who he brings in. I mean, they've really fallen in love with how smart they were with Eovaldi. We'll see. And, you know, great. Pierce, another one, you know. I'm just not sure. I loved when he said they're not going to bring Kimball back, which he didn't say those words, but he told us that they're done with that. They're not going to pay for that, which is a smart move on their part. And the Porcello thing, they need to get players for players here, not just be unloading payroll and contracts, because they can win again next year. They're built to win now. We don't want to see what they're going to look like in 3 or 4 years unless they can have some real masterful plan. But if they can start getting some prospects for JBJ and you know, some people that can be good in a few more years, I'd be all for that.
And Arizona wants him.
They want him.
He's on their wish
list. Lovello, it's all this history. They love him.
They want Jackie Bradley Jr. So they might have a trade
MVP,
partner.
Gold
yes, club. Yes. Push all those things.
Absolutely.
Sell high.
Absolutely. You
know. Sell high. Meanwhile, Alex Cora also announces a lineup change.
That was amazing. A lineup change.
December 11th.
December 11th. I love that.
December 11th, he announces a lineup change.
It was not a small lineup change either. I mean, Mookie Betts, you know, record-setting, record-pacing leadoff hitter who didn't knock in many runs because of this. Granted, I wonder about that part of it. And Benintendi is an abysmal base runner. You know, he needs a lot of work, and he needs his instincts are just bad. Yaz was like that when he was young, but this guy, you know, he's okay.
Who's it helping out?
Benintendi runs the bases well when he hits like a double or a triple.
Yeah,
right. Where the way he runs the bases, but his decision making on the base paths, wretched,
dreadful.
Yes.
Yeah. So we got to keep an eye on that. And
which are two different things.
There's a lot of, you know, baseball, modern baseball, having your best hitter as your number two hitter is they're doing it. You see a lot of that. I mean, in high schools, it'll often be the first guy because he gets the most at-bats, most chance of seeing him up there. But, you know, historically, it's the 3-4 guys. So I don't hate it. But I think Betts and Betts' future has something to do with that.
I was going to say, are they catering to Betts?
I don't think it's strictly a baseball
move. Are they catering
move.
To Betts?
I think a little bit, yeah. I think there's something, you know. I don't think it's strictly a baseball move. I don't. And it's weird that you announce this in December.
Who does it help? That's my question. Like, I don't care that they announce it. I know we did this last year, too, where he started planning out the lineup really early. Yeah.
Because Mookie wants to slide down because he views himself RBIs. As being worth more if he
Absolutely.
Can pad the stats and move down in the lineup, and he'll be worth more money when he hits the market.
Yep.
And if you're viewed as a middle of the lineup, he wants to keep going down. He doesn't want to be considered a leadoff guy.
I mean, he was up with
a great bat. He wants to be a middle of the order bat.
He's up with no one on base a lot because when you lead off the game, there's no one on base. And when you have JBJ hit in front of you, there's no one on base a lot last year. So that, and believe me, I'm sure that's no fun after a while. I mean, you only get one RBI in those leadoff homers.
So the reason why you'd announce it on December 11th is because you've had a meeting with Mookie Betts, and this is what he wants.
Feels like it. We're connecting dots here, but it feels like it. It just feels, why would you need to do that now? And, you know, another good thing that was included, you know, I thought it was good yield on Cora. They're talking about Devers. They don't want him to turn into Pablo Sandoval. It was good. Getting a trainer, going to show up in better shape, all that sort of thing. Good. Good for him. He's a good player. I love Devers. He's really good. That's one I would overvalue Devers.
Like that's a guy. Rake. Yeah, I would too. That's a guy I'd see it through with. He's
rake.
A kid.
He can
he's
rake.
A, he's lit like a kid. He's
defensively,
like a big kid.
He's not that bad defensively. He makes some sensational plays and some bad plays on routine balls, but that's correctable. He's going to be really good. I mean, to me, he's a real commodity. I would not trade him. I would just make sure he's in shape because, he's a little bit of a bad body type for his age. You know, you just don't want to see that go the wrong way.
617-779-0985. A couple of big moves there. Also, Chris Sale doesn't want people talking about his health.
What
his
is
MRI.
This guy? Jeez, don't you think that this is worse? I mean, I thought it all last year, and I still, the way it was handled at the end, they got away with it, but he wasn't their best pitcher at the end. I mean, everyone, all the fans wanted Price instead of Sale to start the big games at the end because you just couldn't trust Sale. And then he comes in relief to close it out, which that felt a little like, let him be in the picture and let him be the guy there, too. The game was won. He gets the last
That out. Was Pedro in relief in 2004.
It's clear
as
that.
I've said.
And now this notion that they, you know, they certainly Mike Tomlin couldn't be his coach because he wouldn't give any information, but that he's dictating what they, and Dombrowski was very subservient about that. Was like, oh, this is what he wants. This is all we can tell you. It's and how are they going to handle him differently next year? How much more delicately can they handle him? Nobody was handled with more caution and care than Chris Sale last year.
And then Drellick reports his MRI came back clean and with a full rest, full offseason arrest, he'll be fine. He'll be 100%.
So why can't the Red Sox say that, if that's true? What would be the harm of saying that? And, I mean, he's in his walk year, and I'm just suspicious. That's the way I think. I was suspicious all last year.
Apparently, he's open to talking about an extension. If you're the Red Sox, would you ever consider signing him to an extension right now?
No.
No
he's
way.
He's great value right now next year.
But
I mean, again,
as
win
Jim
now,
said
win
earlier,
now.
If he were to come to you and say, I'll take 24 a year, you're like, well, wait a minute, you must be hurt.
Yeah.
That's got to be it.
It's a weird.
Very suspicious.
Weirdness all around.
Very suspicious.
Unusual amount of news for a Tuesday at the winter meetings. I thought that was pretty good.
Henry's in the car. What's up, Henry?
Hey, guys. So my point, I'll stick to baseball, but, I get the idea of, you're going to have to move somebody. You're not be able to keep them all. But the idea of moving Bogarts to me, you know, as a Red Sox fan at 26, is I feel like since Nomar, we've been looking for a shortstop. Like and this seems, out of guy, especially after last season, this seems like it could be the guy. I would love to keep him around, and I'd almost be open to moving another one of those key pieces, maybe someone in the outfield. I don't think you're going to get a great return on Jackie Bradley Jr., but Dave might have an opportunity here to move one of the big pieces to really replenish the farm system and still keep this a win now. We can win it again in 2019.
Who are you talking about, though? I mean,
I hate to even say the names, but, you know, you got guys like Benintendi, where that's a guy that if you try, I love Benintendi, but if you traded him, the return would most certainly be a great replenishment of picks or of young guys to replenish a farm system.
You can get a lot for Bradley right now.
Yeah, but then you're making. You know, but how are you not making your team worse in 2019?
you're in order to replenish the farm system in a big way, there's no way to not make your team worse for 2019. It's a matter of how worse you
okay,
want to get.
Then I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I'm with Beadle.
I'm out.
they got to win now, man. I mean, you look at where everything is with the contracts, the age of the pitchers.
You try and win again, and if you pull off back-to-back World Series wins, right?
Yeah.
Then you take it. You go to the downturn, and you take the years to rebuild it.
And I don't.
You just got to accept it. You got to bite the bullet.
I don't believe. I like Benintendi a lot more than Bradley, but on the market right now, I think it's close.
It comes down to this: do you want to sacrifice a shot at another World Series title?
No.
In order to not suck, right? This is like: do you want to be a team that wins one Super Bowl a decade and is horrible the other 9 years, or do you want to be a team that's, you know, middle of the pack and loses in the divisional round every year?
So win it again next year.
What do you want to be?
Win it again next year.
You want to win it all?
Yep.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
That time now for Dan's Dates. Dan Shaughnessy with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Yes.
Why are we doing it at 12:30?
Because we're going to talk to Brad Stevens coming up.
Got the coach
at 12:50.
Nice.
Yeah, get the coach.
Dan's going to hang around. He's going to talk to Brad Stevens with us.
You want to do a quick warm up with Zoe before we get to Dan's
Dates? Yes. Excellent.
All right. Just caught me off guard.
Go ahead.
All right. We welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. It's Brad Stevens. Hi, Brad.
Hey, coach. How you doing? You got a Christmas shopping then?
Oh, hold on. You got to wait for Brad to say hi.
Oh.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, coach. Missed talking to you last week.
Did I talk to you last week or not?
Oh, no, we need to replay Beatles question to Brad for you later.
Oh, what was it? Was it bad?
Did I miss him last week? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw David Andrews. He was pissed I missed him.
What did I do?
I wasn't here either.
Who was it?
I don't remember.
Who was it?
Was it horrible?
You and Jones?
That was me and Bert.
Oh, that's right.
All right, well, apparently it can't be worse than Beatles. Dan, what do you have for dates today?
Today is December 12th. Getting close to Christmas, though. That's why the Mitch Mill is really warming me up today. People that were born on this date, Bob Barker, he goes on.
How old is he now?
He got the longest stick mic in the
91.
Business.
91.
Or was it weak marketing?
He's 95.
Weak marketing.
95.
Is he of, a right mind? Is he still?
I loved when Happy Gilmore, and he beat that dude's ass.
Yeah. Bob Pettit is 86. Know who that is? Anybody?
Andy Pettit's player.
Andy Pettit's
back in the days of wearing knee pads.
Yeah, played against Russell in the first finals in 57.
He played St. Louis?
He's St. Louis Hawks. Very good. Connie Francis is 81, famous actress. She's in the Boardwalk Hall of Fame down there in Fort Lauderdale. Dionne Warwick is 78. She really faded after that, you know, astrology stuff or whatever. She sort of went off the deep end. She used to be big.
I bet she made a ton of money off.
So
that,
she
was big in that movie with the married one with
Jaws.
No,
Empire Strikes Back.
Hold on, My Best Friend's Wedding. Oh. Remember they did the karaoke
the dinner.
Before the wedding.
Gotcha.
One of her backup singers was Whitney Houston's mom. Sissy Houston.
Right, and that's why I'm trying to remember.
And she sort of
cousins.
Yeah.
Whitney Houston was her...
Not bridesmaids, Tom. The one with My Best Friend's Wedding. With the guy
Julie Roberts.
Julia Roberts.
Whitney Houston was her maternal first cousin.
Yeah. I didn't know what the relation was, but they were always around. Other people born on December 12th. Kathy Rigby, the gymnast, is 66. Any Sheila E. fans here?
Oh, yeah.
61 years old today. Tennis Hall of Famer Tracy Austin is 56.
Forever and ever, you've been in my heart and I love you.
Oh, yeah. She did all the Burt Bacharach stuff. It's a tremendous, big, big hit. Frank Sinatra was born on this date, 1915. Where do you think he was born?
New Jersey.
Yep. What town?
Hoboken.
Thank you. Very good, so. That was good.
Yep. Oh, we stayed in Hoboken. Like, home of Frank. Yeah. Drive in. You home pulled. Of Frank.
That was big.
Does he have a rest stop on the throughway, Dan?
He should. He should have his whole
turnpike.
He should have both sides of the
Vince
turnpike.
Lombardi's got one.
Yes, yes.
Sinatra should have one. Yes,
the chairman of the board should
Frank
have
one. Frank Sinatra no rest stop. Yeah, who knows where this could go?
Actress Jennifer Connelly is 48
years old. The guy you killed at Christmas, did he stop one of those rest stops?
Get him mixed up. It wasn't.
George Michael.
Yeah.
I thought he was a rest stop.
Yeah, we killed him 2 years ago. Yeah.
I thought he was got nailed in the rest stop.
It was in a public restroom, like in a park. It wasn't a rest stop.
I thought it was Jersey rest stop.
Yeah, that was bad. Ike Turner died on this date in 2007.
Tina did not like him at the end, as we know.
Nobody should like him.
Richard Gere married Cindy Crawford on this date in 1991. I don't think that lasted.
When did she do that Pepsi commercial? Just one look.
I don't know.
It's about that time.
It goes on.
Yeah, a rumor about him and a gerbil.
Yeah, that's an old.
Yeah,
old
half frozen.
Yeah. stuff that happened on this date.
Warm up a wake up.
Gale Sayre scored six touchdowns in one
game.
You know,
he went to UMass for a time and then he dropped out. Yeah.
December 12th. Who, Richard Gere?
Yeah, he did. He was a UMass student. Okay. He dropped out.
He had a pet gerbil front. He
had to learn it somewhere. Yeah. He had to pick that up somewhere.
Stuff that happened on this date. Pedro Martinez signed a six-year contract on this date, December 12th, 1997, at the meetings. Saturday Night Fever debuted in 1977 in New York City.
Hey, don't touch the hair.
Yeah, that was big. Winona Ryder was picked up for shoplifting on this date in 2001. It's hard to believe it's been 16 years.
It's her best movie. Time come on, I know. Best movie. Come on. Yeah. Best movie. Beetlejuice. She's a whacked out kid.
If you say so. I'm not. I'm
she was good in Beetlejuice. I thought she was really good.
Father Flanagan founded Boys Town in this state in Omaha, Nebraska.
Bet he did.
In this state. Okay. Do you guys know Carlos the Jackal?
No.
Okay. Ilich Ramirez Sanchez, international terrorist known as Carlos the Jackal, went on trial in Paris for killing two French investigators. I think there's a movie about him, but I'm not sure. I can't be sure. Another thing that happened on this date in 2000, which is now 18 years ago, George W. Bush became president-elect. Divided Supreme Court reversed a state court decision on that election that went on forever. It took this long.
Wow.
Hanging what?
What a chode.
Yeah. Hanging chads down there. And you missed when I said Gale Sayre scored six touchdowns in a game against the Niners.
I talked to him.
He's pretty good.
I talked to Belichick about him when we talked like Walter Payton. I remember one of the Bears weeks. Yeah. He's like, get out the tape of Gale Sayre's watch.
Yeah,
he said the legs were just going. Yeah, his body shifting. Be going one way, legs be going another. He's like, you couldn't even stop him. Couldn't get in front of him.
And one other birthday, young actor, 22 years old today, Lucas Hedges, and he is the next big thing.
He is?
He was in Three Billboards.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, he's a kid and stuff. He's big. I'm telling you.
Is that the lispy kid in the Xfinity commercials?
Yeah, he was the kid in Three Billboards.
I don't know
him from... He was another Oscar.
Who's the lispy kid with
he's Verizon. In Manchester by the Sea.
Yes, he's the kid in that too.
The movie you only need to see once.
And that's very not good. One you want to go back.
He's got his own. He's got his own movie now with Julia Roberts. It's
who doesn't?
Ben is home or something like that. Julia Roberts. So yeah, he's watch out. Lucas Hedges is going to be the thing. That is all I have for December 12th, boys. Nice. That's all I got.
We have one from Darren Ravel.
He was also in Lady Bird. That's right.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
A lot of really
good. Yeah, he's 22 years old. His dad's a director.
Okay.
In this day in 1980, Apple went public. They opened at $22 a share.
What's that worth now?
That's in Forrest Gump.
Massachusetts barred investors from buying shares, saying it's too risky at that pricing. What?
Remember Forrest?
So you couldn't buy stock in Apple if you lived in Massachusetts?
Forrest Gump. That
doesn't make any sense. This Darren Revell's tweet, I'm reading it verbatim. Massachusetts bars investors from buying shares, saying it's too risky at that pricing. If you bought 100 shares that day for $2,200 and held them, this isn't as much as I thought.
Yeah, so I just looked it up. It's worth $170 a share right now.
$954,000.
Well, it worked
out. That's not as much as I thought it would.
It worked out for Forrest Gump. Remember, he invested in a fruit company, and then he gets the check later on. And the check comes in, he goes, well, don't worry about money no more.
Lieutenant Dane.
One less thing. It happened. That's it for December 12th? You guys got nothing?
So now I'm reading from a news story. In Massachusetts, officials had barred the offering to individual investors as being too risky. Under the state's criteria, officials said Apple should have been priced at $5.50 a share or no more than 25 times earnings. So you could... I live in Massachusetts. And one of my apples. No, you can't. It's a bad investment.
Who the hell are you to say?
Who said? I can't call my guy?
Feels like overreach. What that feels like.
Seems feels illegal. Like
some governmental overreach right there. All right. Anything else, Artie? We missed anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Brad Stevens, head coach of the Celtics, will join us next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, is with us, and we're joined by the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. I'm back, coach. You missed me last week?
I did.
I hope Gordon Hayward doesn't have what I had. What's up with your team? You got a little bit of a mash unit there.
It's been going through our team. We've been, it's hit a couple of guys already. It's hit a bunch of staff members. And, you just knock on wood that it doesn't hit everybody all at once, certainly. But Gordon is back at home, resting up. Hopefully we'll be good shape after the next couple of days. And then Al is out. And we're going to take a few games with him to help him get his knee feeling 100%. He's been on and off with some patellar femoral pain syndrome, which they made me memorize today, which I'm proud of myself for doing.
Makes my knee hurt.
And then, Gershon's obviously out as well. But it does sound like Baines is going to be back tonight. He'll be back in some limited minutes, We have a few guys missing.
Coach Dan Shaughnessy here. I was curious, what do you learn when you take on a player like Marcus Morris? And, you knew him in college and you coached on teams. He's on the other team a lot. And then he's your player. Do you, learn a lot of new things that you didn't know before about this guy?
First of all, yes. And I will say this. Marcus Morris was a guy we always had circled.
Yeah.
As a guy that we thought would fit right in with the way that we do things. When he was playing in Detroit, they were playing big a lot, and they were playing him at the three, and he was doing a lot of posting both on the block and at the elbow after getting a switch against the pick and roll. But you could tell that he had the ability to not only do that against switches, which is a really good trait. A lot of these guys that are pick and pop shooters right now can't post. And his ability to post is makes him even that much more hard to guard. But we really saw him as a guy for us because of the length we have around him that could play, that could certainly play the four. And he's done a great job of that. He's continuously gotten better. I said after the game the other day, I think his play in March last year kind of sent us into the playoffs feeling really good. I thought that he just continuously got better and better and better. And as we lost guys to injuries, you knew that you had a versatile guy that could score the ball and guard a bunch of different positions. So, and that's just continued this year. He's been great from day one. He's been great as we've struggled as a group and as we've had guys that have struggled individually, Marcus has been very consistent.
Since Jaylen Brown returned from injury, he's looked really good. Do you just attribute that to health, or maybe did the time away because of the injury help him in some way?
I thought he played really well in the two games before he got hurt at Atlanta, at Dallas. The Dallas game especially, I think he was 7-for-9 from the field or something like that before he got hurt, and he was doing a lot of good things. So I just think as anything else, it's been a transition for all of us. And I think that he's done a really good job since he's been back. We're asking a lot of him, both on the offensive end and the defensive end. And, the one thing I don't want these guys to get down about is the open opportunities that didn't go in the first couple of weeks, because those things even themselves out. We just got to get better at playing together and making sure we're maximizing this thing as well as we can. And we've been better in the last few weeks, but, there's a long way to go.
I want to go back to Al real quick, too. Al Horford, you had to memorize exactly what was bugging him with the knee. But based on the age of the player, the amount of miles, and you've been around the sport forever, when guys start to develop these knee issues, does it make you a little bit nervous that this is popping up this early, or maybe this is something that's been you've been having to manage just based on the little things that he does, and how he helps his team from a leadership standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds pretty similar to what Morris had.
Mm-hmm.
At least our approach with him is going to be. So I think that, our training staff did a great job with Marcus last year after he missed the first couple weeks of the preseason. And when he finally joined us, was not feeling great, kind of went back and forth, kind of similar to what Al did this year. And then we just took him out for a couple of weeks. And I thought that that was really good for him from a long-term, big-picture perspective. And I think Al hasn't played since, I think, last Thursday against the Knicks. And so to miss a few games here – hopefully will benefit him in the big picture. But, you know, that's the one position, because we're playing him at the five, where, you know, with Baines coming back healthy, yeah, we do have some pretty good depth. And, you know, it allows – we have to play a little bit differently with a guy like Baines or Williams. But I think we've got a lot of, you know, flexibility there. And then obviously Tice does a little bit what Al does, but also, you know, isn't quite probably as comfortable as running everything or facilitating everything at the top of the key.
To get into your opponent that's coming up here, and that would be the Wizards, is there any bit of the rivalry that maybe sort of built up a little bit? I know the players have changed for both teams, but is there any bit of that rivalry left between the Celtics and Wizards in their current forms?
Well, I know this. You know, the Wizards, obviously, it's not like we've set the world on fire with our start here, you know, really in the first 20 games especially. But, you know, I know the Wizards have struggled at times as well. But as we told our team, first thing we say in film, right, is that the Wizards, that what they're capable of and their best version is who we play against. And, like, they're really talented. John Wall gets up the court faster than anybody. Brad Beal is a tremendous player. You go down the list of guys, Markieff has always given us fits. They've got good guys off the bench, and Jeff Green and Kelly Oubre. Like, they've just got a lot of guys that hurt you, and they're a very talented team. And they've played much better prior to the last two games, but Wall was hurt and only played a little bit against Cleveland and didn't play at all against Indiana. They're expecting them to play tonight. We're gonna get the Wizards' best version. And so bottom line is, regardless of who was around a few years ago, we know we're going to get one heck of a shot tonight. It's going to be a tough one.
Coach, I want to go back, you know, right around draft time, and you guys select Robert Morris, and there were some maturity questions and some issues there, and thought maybe we wouldn't see him. And all of a sudden, you know, give me an update on him. He's coming around, swats Anthony Davis the other night. Not many guys in this league can do that.
Well, he's got some talent. There's no question about it. And I think, you know, much was made of him, you know, of some of his initial issues when we first drafted him, missing that first practice of summer league because he was late to a flight. But, you know, sometimes those are silver linings.
Well, you ever been to Buffalo Wild Wings? I mean, it's a pretty good place.
And those things, you know, he has been awesome in his work. That's the thing that has stood out to me. He has come to work every day, even in the summer and fall before guys really arrived. And, you know, he would watch Baines come in early and do a workout. And then he would say to Alex Barlow, who's been working with him, let's come in at that time and do that too. Like, those are things that, you know, I think everybody says they're willing to do, but he's been willing to work. And I give him a lot of credit. You know, I think his best days are ahead. I think he's still got a lot to work on, but he can do some things physically in the meantime that can, you know, be impactful. You know, I think that there certainly is a lot of room for growth, though, and I have no doubt that he'll get there because of his work ethic.
Coach, I know we're jumping around here a little bit, but I can't let you go without asking this. And this game's still 8 days away, 9 days away, but the Milwaukee Bucks, you had a playoff series last year against them, and, you know, they've competed very well thus far this year. As a basketball historian, I mean, with Giannis, I know there's a lot of great young players in the league, and he's 24 years old. Is this like a historic thing we're seeing here? I mean, what's up with this guy?
I think you're probably right. The deal is, and LeBron is in this category, right? When he is going downhill with a head of steam, there's nothing you can do individually to stop him. And we've got a bunch of big, strong guys, some of the best athletes in the world. And still, when it's one-on-one in that situation, I mean, it's just he gets such a head of steam. And he's such a freight train coming downhill. But, yeah, I mean, we played him once this year. We played him, I think, 11 times last year. And he's just a hard guy to guard. But I do think you're on to something there. He is unique. You know, you obviously have to prepare to handle him. And then with all the shooting around him, you know, they're off to a great start this year. But we got a lot of headaches before we have to tackle that one.
Well, thanks anyway.
Celtics head coach Brad Stevens with us, and there are still a few spots available for this Sunday's Junior Celtics Clinic in Marblehead. Come and learn on and off the court skills in a fun and encouraging environment. This weekend's Junior Celtics Clinic is open for kids age 5 to 14. For more information, visit celtics.com/clinics. Coach, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Coach.
Right. Brad Stevens with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Dan Shaughnessy, appreciate
it. I'm a minute and 30 over already.
You've given us extra minutes today.
Jeez. Okay.
I mean, you wouldn't have if it weren't for you wanting to go down, you know.
I had to.
You want to get your history lesson on Giannis.
I love that guy. I love Giannis. Oh, boy, it's different. It's something. Watch out. I'll see you next week at Warrior Arena.
All right.
Looking forward
to
that.
See you next Thursday, Dan.
See you, Dan.
Wait till we get him back on a Tuesday.
He's gone already. Jesus.
He is. Well, they get the counter going.
You guys are doing a good job listening to that segment.
For overtime. Who did?
You guys.
Why? What do you mean?
Jim said I called Robert Williams Robert Morris. Are you freaking kidding me?
Well, I thought it was a cross between Marcus Morris and Robert Williams.
Well, I mean, it's like I'm going back to Pittsburgh this week. Robert Morris University is there, so it's like it's Williams.
What was my question from last week? Did you pull it up?
What? Jesus.
No, we got that wrong. That was from like a few weeks ago.
He's a classy guy for handling it really well,
too. Was it a bad one? Oh. Let's welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens, joins us now. Hi, Coach.
What's up, guys?
What's going on? What's going on with you?
How are you?
How did you wait 2 weeks to play that?
I thought we played that during takeaways. Maybe we didn't.
No, I never
heard
that.
We've had that saved for a few weeks.
I only missed one day.
Oh, my God. It's brilliant.
Nope.
It's so good.
Robert. Coach, I want to go back, you know, right around draft time, and you guys select Robert Morris. And there's
Robert freaking Morris. Unbelievable.
It's not
bad.
Stupid.
No, the coach blew it off.
You didn't make that a fake promo or anything. How did you blow that chance?
Well,
what's going on, coach?
Zoe's leaving.
I think it might have been Thanksgiving week.
Was Zoe here? I was probably.
Yeah, I think it was Thanksgiving week. We got late in the week. We didn't even do anything for takeaways.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.